Hey guys, my name is Charlie.
And I'm Kevin.
And we are the Holiday Bros, and you're listening to the Ho Ho Holiday Bro Podcast.
Holiday Bros. Holiday Bros. Holiday Bros. Holiday Bros.
Good tidings to you, Kevin, and to the listeners out there. This is the Holiday Bro Podcast number 15, and on today's episode, we're going to be talking about Will Vinton's
Claymation Christmas Celebration.
So it took 15 episodes to realize we are robots. Can't get it.
No, we never will.
Oh, it's a good try, though. So we're recording this episode on December 17th. It's almost Christmas time.
No, I can't believe this. I'm not even in the spirit. I can't handle it right now.
It's rough. So right now we're doing one of these episodes where we're watching it as we're recording the podcast.
Good evening and welcome to London's world famous Christmas Square. Tonight, Herb and I will be your hosts on
such a nasally voice.
Musical world of Christmas carols. We're going to hear some really wonderful music. Right,
we'll let them narrate.
Thank you, Herb. Thematically speaking, we'll be looking at Christmas.
Do you know why they're called
they
Rex and Herb?
Specific traditions. Of...
I thought they had last names. Oh well, he's a herbivore and he's a T-Rex, but
yeah.
Holiday ballets, Santa Claus, Universal.
These
joy,
are two dinosaurs.
Christmas snacks.
There is not a carol about
dressed
snacks.
In suits in a Santa outfit.
See, now this is how we were first introduced to Will Vinton, not that horrible Easter one that we did months ago.
Yep. Yeah, this was. This was the only thing. Well, besides the California raisins, obviously. But
again, coming back to like all those little lights around the place. Like, are they real lights? Like, what is that? I love it.
I'm going to say they're real lights, like little miniature rice lights. But who knows? This came out in December 21st, 1987 was the release date.
Is wassailing, not waffling.
Well, what the heck's wassailing?
Classic Will Vinton characters.
Yep.
Like, he's such a style to him. Like, that, you know, you've never seen anything else like it, and there hasn't been anything like his stuff since then. You get, like, the Wallace and Gromit, but that's a little different.
And didn't he... Did we talk? I love how he said, too, that with We Three Kings, that haunting American class. It is haunting. It's in the minor key, and I love it. Didn't he work on Bumpin' the Night? Did we talk about that?
Yeah, we did. We mentioned it.
We know so we did know it.
This holiday special, it's basically just little vignettes, little songs and stuff broken up, and just showcasing, I guess, his claymation style. The song that we're doing right now, the We Three Kings one, I don't know. These kind of characters kind of grossed me out when I was little. And those camels, oh boy.
Camels are the worst, especially the one with the mustache.
And that one I always just was the Joe Camel from the cigarette. And their little knobby knees. And then you got the dopey one that looks like you'd be like, oh.
I love that this guy has two crowns on, too.
I noticed. He just brought the extra one on top.
Yep.
Melted it down.
So, like, this is the class. I mean, the lyrics are all, you know, We Three Kings, but I mean, that's a nice classic sound, and then they go into this more popish, jazzy type chorus. Yeah. Not a fan of the chorus music.
No, and these camels are wearing sneakers. The one in the middle has a Salvador Dali mustache. Oh, man. But yeah, this is just. Basically just a claymation special with different effects. Like this effect there is like that one that we were talking about in the Easter one, kind of.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's definitely cartoon, you know. It's definitely
like watercolor or something.
Yeah, something, but on top, and it probably sells on top of the a film of this.
Look at those knobby knees bouncing those camels.
Is that one? Is he the one wearing heels? The high heels?
Probably.
I don't think I ever paid attention to all the shoes except the sneakers.
Oh, yeah.
I always wanted this guy's voice.
Rattle. And sacrifice.
I always wanted to be there at that little camp, too.
Oh, yeah. It's just out in the middle of the desert.
It just looks great. Nice little warm area.
So when we were little kids, we watched this quite often. And now that I'm looking at it and I'm watching it, you could just picture all these guys' faces, and they just look like California Raisins.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing. I mean, it's... They all, you know, the commercial for this was talking about the California Raisins. I think a lot of people online call this the California Raisins Christmas, and it goes right through me.
Yeah. That's what we called it when we were little, though, so you have to understand.
I mean, they're the headliners at the end. I don't think I called it California Raisins.
Yeah, we did. Waffle is an old word. Now we go back to this. What is it supposed to be, like a New England town square type of a setup?
No, yeah, it's the, what did they say? Something. It's a real place in England, whatever they said. I can't remember.
The ringing of the bells still at waffling. Christmas time is a holdover
from early. I like how they said about the earth being cold. When the earth
was cold, and I was just annoying him with a little bell in his face. Very powerful. And these are like your typical two old guys just harassing each other. A great deal of noise.
As making noise was also if you actually fun. Go on YouTube, you can look at behind the scenes stuff, and you'll actually see Will Vinton like standing above this whole scene, moving all the clay pieces.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see that. That'd be neat.
This is, I think, growing up, this is probably one of our favorite ones that we always watched.
Oh, yeah. This one really got us going. It's just a bunch of bells with California Raisin faces, and they're all just ringing themselves with regular gavels. But the one, he was just a dopey guy that we always just said his name was Ruben. I think we mentioned it before. We were carnies up in the carnival, and there was a guy that worked that worked the carnival rides and stuff, and his name was Ruben, and this guy just has the same tooth as him. He looks just like him. But this guy always scared me, the orchestra guy.
Quasimodo.
Yeah, he always scared me. He's very mean-looking.
He's very Malevich-like.
Yeah, he is.
And there's that bell. He's being a goof-off.
He's just jamming out. Stick script. What's the name of this song? Is this Tubular Bells?
No, Carol of the Bells.
That's right. Tubular Bells is Halloween music.
It's not even that. It just so happens to be used for The Exorcist.
So the conductor's getting really pissed off at this bell because he's just goofing around. He's a total goof. If you look at him, like I said, he has one big tooth, a big schnoz. He looks different from all the other bells. You can tell he's a goof. Like all the other guys are all business and they're tuxedo-ish type, and this guy's got a polka dot bow tie.
Kind of looks like Finnegan.
Like this guy, just picture, like, you know, he still lives at home with his mom. She gives him his
Mama, please, I want to go to bell practice.
Now he had a fly on his nose, and he just hit himself in the nose with the hammer. Is that a gavel? I'm assuming. And then he looks at it. There's a dead, squished thing. He's making the best face.
I love that he just wants nothing to do with it. He throws it.
He doesn't care that he's going to get his ass kicked.
Do you notice their arms, though? Their arms are exactly like the Noids.
Yeah.
And then he tries taking somebody else's hammer. He has one tooth.
Oh, when we were little, this one had us rolling in the streets.
Yep.
Oh, and he was the final bell toll, and then the conductor, what is it, a conductor? What do I keep saying?
Yeah, no, you're right.
He turns around and he has a slingshot behind his back, so he ended up shooting him. When I was little, I swear, used to be so much longer, all these little cartoons.
Yeah, I know. The whole thing is like 24 minutes.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty sad. Because it was like, let's watch this. And it was like, all right, we're in for a good night.
Now, this one, I enjoy this one, too. My version of a Christmas tree, or Oh Christmas Tree. On the album Solstice Night, which is just posted on Facebook. It was inspired by this version. We'll have to look. The end of this one with Santa when he's in his house. It just looks so comfy and cozy.
Oh, yeah. Christmas-y.
So the little ongoing stick with this is the song Wassailing. Here We Come Wassailing. Nobody's getting it right. First guys were waffling. Now there's a bunch of swans that are saying, here we come a waddling. I'd like one of those So kind of like a little ongoing stick of comedy. Rex is just disgusted.
The simple and lovely Christmas tree carol.
Yeah, so now this one, it starts off with like a boy and a girl. They're decorating the Christmas tree. This one always gave me such a weird feeling. Like, this is like kind of going back to that November Christmas type of a thing.
Call me Jess.
You know what I'm saying? Where everything's inside of it.
Yeah. Well, it's because it's like you go into one order, they hang up a little cottage, and then it zooms in really close. It's a gingerbread house, actually, and then there's a gingerbread family decorating their own tree with and dancing around it. So you keep going into ornaments. That's how this whole progression of the song goes. Keep going inside one ornament after another.
Now, you know what feel I get?
That gives me the Pee-wees right there. The
freaking that's exactly what I was going to say. This gives me such a Pee-wee's Playhouse feel when they would always look into the wall with the dinosaurs.
Did we ever see who does the claymation for him?
I think it's, what's his name? The guy that does all the artwork for Pee-wee. I'm pretty sure it's...
I don't know if Will Vinton had a side job.
I don't know. Maybe. We'll have to look. It does have the same style.
Yeah.
But yeah, now they're in an elf in a workshop and they're making toys.
Everything's just, this is what I want my life to be.
You know, and every time I watch something like this, like, picture all of that stuff in there was just handmade, like...
Yeah, I know.
And moved by hand. Like, this, it's so much work has to go into something like this.
Here's my favorite.
The stained glass window. Yeah. Just that glow of that tree coming off on them.
Not just them, but the whole fireplace. Like, now, to me, I get it that this is before he's going out. He's resting up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get the feeling that he's that he came back. Right. But just the fire. Oh, I just want to be in that corner with all that snow falling.
I wonder if we're the only people that think something like this. So now we reach the pinnacle of the animation. We reach Santa's star on the tree, and now we start backing up. And then it turns out that we're back in the main room with the two kids staring at the tree. Ugh.
I just pause. I just want to live in that living room with Santa.
Which living room? Santa's? Or you like
no, Santa's.
That one, right?
Yeah, Santa's so cozy. I love how pissed off he gets here.
Must be an old sheep shearing song.
It's not a sheep shearing song, you bonehead. Wassail comes from the Anglo-Saxon wassail, which means be in hell.
So I realized pretty much the majority of all the things that I like were like the first three songs, and then everything else I could kind of just pass on.
I guess while we're still in our little in-between here, this special was written by Ralph Little, L-I-D-D-L-E, and it was directed by Will Vinton. Every time I say Will Vinton, though, I still think of, like, a vampire saying it.
It doesn't have the sound. Will Vinton.
I'm Will Vinton.
This is one that I remember. This is one I used to fast forward as a kid.
All right, so let me tell you a little thing about this one. You know when you're a little kid and you see stuff and... I don't know what it was, but like this dumb walrus chick, she has these little perfectly round boobies, right?
Yeah.
You know when you see her, and that's all I could think about when I would watch this. It's just those little round clay boobies. I don't know why.
Just letting you know it's a girl.
Yeah, I guess because there's nothing on them, like they're not
the
covered.
Eyelashes would have been enough. That's usually this. Like, look at Mickey and Minnie. Minnie is just eyelashes.
Yeah, that's true. Now, if I had to judge any of the other claymation specials in that, this one is the least Will Vinton-ish. The things look a little more smoother. Like his style is usually like really, really exaggerated, you know, features. Where these are all kind of just solid.
Maybe that's why this one's so good. I don't know. I love this whole special.
Well, I'm talking about just this walrus one in particular.
Oh, I'm sorry. You mean, okay, yeah.
These things
well,
look
I don't look at them as, I don't even look like clay to me. That looks like, I don't know, potatoes.
Now, those guys look like clay.
I love, though, that the penguins are trying to do everything to kill them. And it's weird, too. If you notice at the end, when they actually bury them under the water and then they explode up, I guess it's like the whole, well, we can't have these penguins actually drowning them, so...
Can't have the kids go to bed crying.
Yeah.
So this was also originally aired on the CBS broadcasting company, CBS, back, like I said, December 21st, 1987.
Oh, nice. It was on Solstice Eve.
You want to know what else this aired with? This originally debuted alongside of Garfield's Christmas special.
And that, then, that had to be like one of the best hours of 19 whatever.
Well, it was in 1987, but then the two continued to be aired back to back for years to come after that. So that started the whole thing right there.
Wait, I don't remember ever seeing this on the TV afterwards.
Yeah, it was back to back with this and then the Garfield one for years. Isaac Watt wanted
a carol that expressed jubilation. Now this next song, the very first 15 seconds, it has so much potential, especially with the, I love the scene of the church in the middle of the just valley. It gives me such a medieval feeling.
These pigs that just came up the hallway, or up the alleyway, they are very Easter reminiscent.
Oh, yeah.
Easter special.
Probably just picked them up from his last show and brought them over.
I guess he would. Why wouldn't he? He wouldn't want to waste them. But yeah, I know what you're saying about the medieval feeling on that one.
Yeah, the dark sky with the littlest hint of the pink from the sun setting. Very slight hue. But this song has such good potential at the beginning here. Look at that. That's a good shot.
How big do you think that whole thing is right there?
Oh, God.
Scene?
I'm you know, maybe, I don't know, 9 inches. And the song just turned for the worse now. I don't know who did the music for all this either. Like, if, you know, who arranged it, but
This is
one I fast-forwarded all the frickin' time.
Yeah, this one is not visually Will Vintage. This one is a lot of, like, smearing watercolors or whatever texture they use. I guess it's a paint of some sort, but it's just showing different images. Yeah, this one definitely not one of my favorites.
No. I mean, it gives me an African tribe, like, type feel.
Yeah, like, this
I mean, and it's not even just the music, but the images that you're using, I think, is African tribes.
Yeah, like you would see something like this if you were at Disney World at like Animal Kingdom and they're like showing a show like just with different music going. It's similar to that.
I feel like I should say something just so I don't have to listen to it.
Well, then I'll talk about some stuff here. Do you know that this was one of two the awards that this one won? This one, it won a primetime Emmy Award in 1988 for Outstanding Animated Program.
Yeah, Aaron just brought that up to me the other day when we were watching this.
What, that it won an award?
Yeah, that it won an award. She was all surprised by that.
Well, it was one of two Claymation holiday specials that were directed by Will Vinton to win an Emmy. And you know what the other one was, obviously. The Easter one. Claymation Easter.
I wonder if he ever got anything for his Halloween one.
I don't know, because it just says when I looked it up, it said he won. This was one of the two that he won for it, and the other one was Easter. So I don't think he did anything for the Halloween. So how did Erin know? Did she look it up while she was watching it?
Yeah, we were watching it the other day, like Bridget and I, and she was in the living room with us, and she goes, I see this won an award. I go, what? She goes, it's Claymation. I said, why are you looking that stuff up?
Because she doesn't want to listen to the show.
No, I mean, I think she doesn't want Bridget watching anything that hasn't won awards. And we back up from the church again. A nice shot, but it's almost like there's more sun now.
Yeah. It seems to be an ongoing thing. You zoom in, you zoom out to let you know it's finished. Isn't that wonderful?
It's wassailing, I tell you. It's wassailing.
Oh, that's definitely big. Yeah.
Our next carol is that fabulous and incredibly popular Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Interpreted by that singing and dancing sensation.
Now, because we can't rewind audio, let's pay attention up here.
Okay.
When they all start arguing with each other. By the way, this reminds me of leaving like the shows when I used to play in the band in the wintertime. Great gig, guys. Oh, gives me a good feeling. I love that he's the one locking up. But I hear, when they all argue, I'm just going to say it, because so you can all hear it. It sounds like they say, ha, ha, no, child porno. Listen.
Don't sweat, it's Christmas Eve. Next reindeer's due any minute.
Oh, man. Come on, child porno.
I don't know what else it could be.
Now, I don't know.
I don't like the California Raisin. I'm not a big fan. Do you have the info? It's a black group, but I can't remember who they are that sing for the California Raisins.
Yeah, I don't know. But when we were little, we had California Raisin figures. They were huge. They were big. They were just also a ploy to get kids to eat raisins.
I love raisins.
See, I like when they were just looking at that guy like, come on. He's like, no, 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 no. And then they just start scrubbing his nose till it's so wet and shiny.
I know.
That part always grossed me out. Like, I just picture, like, grabbing it and squeaking it. And then just a quick Indian burn, as they call it, on his nose, and it turns red.
That's a nice little cityscape, too. I wouldn't mind being in that city. That's where I think the old city bar should come on with TSO, and I could go and have a beer.
Yeah. Something about the California Raisins. They're just so ridiculous that I love it. And when they just start doing this little shuffle around, I loved it. And then they take off. That always made me giggle.
Now, besides commercials, was there anything else? These guys, to me, and I don't know if they did, I feel like they would have had it would have been such a hype. New series coming out, the California Raisin, then it would last like a month.
Yeah, but I believe it was animated.
Well, then what's the point?
Well, less work.
Yeah, but that's not really... The California Raisins are claymation. They look like actual raisins.
Yep, this part. When they just take
they're all
off
tied together. It looks like they're on a chain gang there.
There they go.
That's a nice city, though. I wouldn't mind. I'd love to be right there.
Now they're just shuffling away across
the moon.
Oh, man. California Raisins.
Yeah, some green screen action right there.
Sensational.
I love how disgusted Rex is with everything.
He's had enough.
Oh, he'll get happy right now. This is a good song. I should find a good version of this to listen to. Leave it to the Irish.
Now, look how excited he is.
I would love some of Cecil's Cyril cider or whatever it is.
Cyril's. Cyril's?
Rosalind, why? Just going around the neighborhood singing Christmas carols, receiving treats, and.
I wonder if he ever did like a. Irish St. Patrick's Day thing and he just had some leftover characters.
I love it. It's all about. They said it's all about going around singing, getting Christmas treats, and having Christmas cordials. So that means they're literally drinking while they're doing this, and I love it.
Drinking on the job. When you have something going on like this, I don't know. There's like seriously like 30 characters on the screen moving right there. Can you imagine doing that?
Yeah. And like, imagine if you're like, "Fuck, did I move this one or not?" Like. There had to be some way to know you're not screwing up.
Yeah.
Because imagine if it's something just a mat, like you forgot and you had already moved it, you forgot again that you moved it, and you moved it again, and it literally goes from one thing to the other side.
Are every characters from all the things represented in this scene now? Because we
yeah,
saw
no, they're all here. The penguins, everybody. Now,
but
look
what
for
about
the kids, though.
I was going to say, what about the kids or the three
look at
kings?
The dog at the bottom, the spike. I don't see the kids. They're probably in bed. There's some of the bells, though. There's the wise men in the bottom left.
Yep, as I said, it'd be a good scene to pause at the end and then zoom in.
Yeah, there's the gingerbread people over to the bottom right.
Yep, so there's a lot of representation there. That's
probably
great.
Almost all of them. At least from every song. 1987, Will Vinton Productions, Claymation, trademark Will Vinton Productions.
Oh, come on, Rex. Man, that seemed so much longer when I was a little kid.
I know. And that little ending of him just going, come on, Rex, just one more, or whatever he asks. We never got to see that growing up, because you got to realize, all these movies that we're accustomed to are classic, recorded off the TV.
Yep.
And it's all at the discretion of our mom. If she was able to hit pause and unpause at the right moments.
And then years later, when she got a VCR with two tape things in it, she tried re-recording them all again, taking the commercials out. I didn't like that. I like the commercials in it if I'm going to watch it like that.
Well, now, I mean, with everything going, yeah, I almost wish that we had the commercials.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, that was so much longer when I was a little kid. But when you were a little kid and it was on TV or something like that, you always like, all right, commercials on, run, go to the bathroom, get your snack, do whatever. And then we would always like, I could always remember it clearly. I was laid on the floor in front of the TV watching a special. I had the pillow on the floor. I had my feet towards the TV and my head back. So I was laying on my back. Just remember just running out. And I had to have my head on the pillow before it started up again. Or I would weird. Like it was just one of those weird tick things.
Yeah. We all get those. I still get them even with certain shows. I don't like to... This year, I just gave up on pretty much all tradition of anything that I do. I usually watch certain shows, Christmas stuff in a certain pattern. And, like, usually Mickey's Christmas Carol I save for Christmas Eve. And I'm just like, I don't fucking have time for anything. So I just watched it the other day with Bridget. And
something that she's seen before, I'm assuming.
Yeah, and she lets me know because I'm like, come on, let's go watch it. And she's like, but I've already seen this. And she's talking about last year now.
So she's not a multiple watcher.
No, she is with the shows that she likes. Doc McStuffins, you could put the same one on multiple, and she won't care. She'll be fine with it.
Yeah.
But then she could recite the whole thing after about the second time. But yeah, I mean, even like, the hell. The one that I'm not going to get, you know, I have Xena Solstice Carol coming up soon. That's Thursday night.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll try to catch stuff on TV. Now, like this year, like Freeform's, it's been just playing the same five movies. Mm-hmm. And since yesterday and today, my littlest one has watched The Polar Express 3 times. He liked that. But I have to mention something about The Polar Express.
Mm-hmm.
So I was talking with Carrie about that and some of the different theories that are out there. And pretty much...
With the hobo?
Yeah. She pretty much thinks I'm wrong on all accounts, and it was just argument after argument today in my household. Speaking of the Polar Express,
yeah, but it's not—they're not necessarily your beliefs, though, right? Were you just throwing out like conspiracy theories?
Yeah, I was telling her some of the things that are online, like, and she goes, "No, she is 100%. It was all a dream." That's the band she's on.
Well, I could jump on that with the whole ripping of the robe, but that's the only. It's the only ties that give me the idea that it was possibly a dream.
Yeah. And excuse me, I don't want to go too much into a past podcast on this one, but I just had to mention it because that's what we were talking about today. So she did, I don't know. She wasn't liking.
But, all right. But even if it was a dream, can we then everything is plausible that the hobo is Hero Boy, that he didn't get on the train.
Nope, she is 100% against that. She's 100% against all.
So
why?
All right. Well, then, what my question to her would be, and I'm fine because this is, we're only on a half hour show thing anyway. I'm fine with rattling on about this. What is her exact thought? Because we're only 28 minutes into this.
So here's her exact thoughts. Here's what she was saying.
They all look. Why do they all look like Tom Hanks and her? Like, I want her to explain that.
The one thing she did think was that the conductor is like his dad, because. That's just how he hears him, that, the voice. So she thinks that that's his dad.
Stern guy.
Right. And then at the end of the movie, like, the way she was saying it was something like, how, like, sometimes things could happen and it could, like, influence your dreams or something like that.
Yeah.
So different things that happened, like when she saw that wrote the, well, no, because the Robot Santa thing was in his dream, apparently, if he was a dream. But she was saying, like, the hobo guy he's not a ghost. He's just something in his dream trying to tell him to not believe in Santa. But what the heck was some of the stuff she was saying? Some of it made sense, but I can't go along with that theory. But then at the end of the movie, you see when he's downstairs, before he sees the bell, the present that he's playing with is the marionette from in his dream.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't have seen that thing yet, So that's why I don't understand.
Yeah, but maybe he saw it at a store.
Yeah, and then it's something he dreams about.
Yeah, because, you know, it's like a toy that you want. And yeah. I mean, I guess maybe we should really pay, because here's the other thing, too. The Polar Express looked identical to the train in their living room.
Well, yeah, too, but they didn't have that there at the beginning of the movie. That was only there on Christmas.
It was, but that's their train, so he's very familiar with that train. It even had the red light in the back.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, I think that train got brought there that year because it wasn't there around the tree at all.
Oh, I don't know. There's some people that put trees up, like, at, like, now remember how old that movie's supposed to be old. Back in the day, the tree was never up until Christmas Eve night. Santa was the one that put the tree up.
Yeah.
I know the tree was already there, but I don't know. That could have been something as well. I guess you could speculate and look at those type of things, too. I never looked around the living room enough to see, you know, I don't know if there's like a Zeppelin or a Frankenstein's monster mask.
No, wrong movie. Next episode. Which, the day that we're recording this right now, it might be over by now, but the Christmas.
O'clock. Yeah, don't even get me started.
Did you watch any of it?
Yeah, I put it on for a little bit, and I hate that, and we'll talk about this next week, but the fact that they're even trying to do this disgusted me. But second, stop making shit musicals, all right? I like a good musical, but God forbid, knock it off. Like,
I watched 5 minutes of it, and it seemed like shaky handheld camera footage, like home video footage.
I thought Broderick was going to actually be the father. I didn't realize he was the narrator.
Yeah, so did I until I saw, like, some of the other previews.
And why does it look like Saturday Night Live made it? Every single character in there is from Saturday Night Live.
I don't know. Yeah, we'll talk about this one a little bit on the next episode.
No, I hope we don't.
Next one, well, we'll talk a little bit about it.
But anyway.
So on the Claymation Christmas Celebration, this was actually spoofed on an episode of The Simpsons. I don't know if you remember that at all.
I don't.
Okay, so it was a Christmas episode in 2003 of The Simpsons, and this was called the California Prunes. from what I look online, I'm trying to think how it went. Like, they sat there and they sang a song, and I can't remember what song they sang, but it was all about something about prunes with wrinkles and stuff. So they actually did spoof this special on that episode of Simpsons. So it was their Christmas one in 2003. So if you could find that and watch that, or maybe if you do find it, throw that little clip at the end of this or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, just the way to see the prunes. But then, like, Lisa makes a comment about it saying that, like, this is very offensive to prunes. I can't remember. I probably have only seen that episode once.
Well, and then, again, you got to think, too, this is what we knew of Will Vinton. So a couple years ago when I discovered the Easter and the Halloween and the rest of the Agu clan had no idea that they even existed, mm-hmm. we had really high hopes for those.
Oh, yeah.
And completely disappointed. I mean, this was really just, you know, like you said, little, vignettes or whatever you said, you know, bits of music and everything. So this had its own purpose of playing music, kind of like the TSO Ghost of Christmas Eve in a way. And those were actually specials with storylines and everything. This, you know, but I don't know. It's just weird. I don't know if I've ever heard anybody say they don't like this. I saw this appearing. There's that one person that follows us on Instagram that, like, they're always posting about the Claymation Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those things where you might not like a part of it, but it's so diverse in, like, the... And they're only, like, two-minute scenes, you know? So if you don't like it, it's like, all right, it's going to be over in a minute, and you'll get on to the next one, and you'll find something you like.
And not just that, but the people, anybody that I've ever talked to about this, they either know exactly what it is and have watched it multiple times to know what it is, or they have absolutely no clue what the hell I'm talking about.
Yeah. But as soon as you mention California Raisins, everybody knows that. Now, I don't think kids are going to know them nowadays, but...
I'm surprised they're not back. I mean, there's probably no push to sell raisins, but
probably
just
not.
You know, in a marketing scheme, I'm surprised they're not back in some way, shape, or form. But I mean, who's doing claymation these days anymore anyway?
Yeah, it's not that prominent of a art style anymore. When I bought the house that I'm living in now, the one closet downstairs has a California Raisin air freshener hanging in it, and I've left it in there. It's still
what's it smell like?
Probably nothing by now. I don't know.
Was there even a scent written on it to know?
No, it's just it was a big white square with all the California raisins just shimmying away, shaking and dancing.
Probably new car scents or something.
Yeah, who knows? Well, before we continue on any longer, we're going to go ahead and take a commercial break here. I think I have two of them. The first one's short, second one's a little bit longer, but I just have to play it for one funny reason. But we're going to go ahead and play them right now.
That pink two-wheeler, please, for this Toys R Us kid. If I could only have it, there'd be so much I could do. Go shopping for mom, mail letters for dad. A paper route would be so cool, I'd follow every traffic rule. And then a big race, I bet I could win. Oh, wow, I'll learn to ride it. Soon as mom and dad show me how.
Toys R Us, you'll never outgrow us.
So while the next commercial is loading up, I hated that commercial. Nothing rhymed, and it made me so mad.
No, I was about to say, they used the entire Toys R Us theme song without the music, without saying one damn thing. Oh, that was horrible.
And I have seen shirts, ties, books, records. But you know, they love sports, so I thought maybe you had something here.
What's their favorite sport?
Baseball, I guess. Or maybe it's football. You know, come to think of it, they love basketball, boxing, hockey, tennis. They're real big sports fans.
There is a perfect present for guys like that, but I can't sell it to you.
Well, why not?
It's Sports Illustrated.
Sports Illustrated?
America's number one sports magazine. It gives you 55 weeks of great sports coverage, including the year in sports, the baseball preview, the football spectacular, the basketball preview, and the annual swimsuit issue.
Yeah, I know they'll like that.
This year, they'll also get Sports Illustrated's biggest issues ever, the 88 Olympic Preview Edition, with an exclusive look at all the major events, like hockey, skating, skiing. No one covers the Olympics like Sports Illustrated.
They'll really like that.
I like that guy's voice.
The Christmas sale price, looks like a dork, over 60% too. Off the cover price.
A sale before Christmas?
And no crowded stores. Because you don't go shopping bonus for issues. You just call.
No shopping, no
and no wasted postage.
Just call their toll-free Christmas hotline for 55 that's issues of Sports Illustrated at the Christmas sale
maybe
price.
Try giving them a call, 1-800-284-5300.
I've tried a lot of those old numbers.
Me too.
Sounds like the perfect present for any man. On sale.
I would love if there's still one worker that just refused to leave the company.
Illustrated at the Christmas sale price, including all the preview issues, the swimsuit issue, and the 88 Olympic preview edition. Even a card.
How long is this?
Just by calling toll free.
Oh, we can wrap it up now. Now it's just a bunch of ladies there. But listen to these ladies' voices here.
Where's the phone?
Over there.
What's that number?
1-800-284-5300.
I know what I'm getting my boyfriend.
And my dad.
Terrific idea. Great idea.
That last one, that and my dad. Like, that was a lady in a red suit. And she had like a Dorothy from the Golden Girls type of a look to her. But she, and my dad.
Was it Hillary Clinton?
Maybe. But yeah, so we'll talk for a second about that Toys R Us commercial. Toys R Us like commercials when I was a kid at Christmas time were the best commercials. Like the I don't want to grow up, I'm a Toys R Us kid. Like that was like their Christmas ones were the best. That one bothered me so much because nothing rhymed and it just made me so mad. It was this little girl that just wanted a bike for Christmas and she didn't even know how to ride the dumb thing. She goes, "Wow, a bike. I'll learn to ride it."
Yeah, that was bad. Half of our things have been from 1987. I think we need to get out of that year.
Yeah. That's the year we're stuck in. But then that was also the Sports Illustrated commercial from 87. When I was looking at that one, I was like, oh, I wonder if this is one where it's like, and you get a football phone. And then it was always that crappy football phone that they tried to sell you on. And we had a football phone growing up, but there's no way it was the Sports Illustrated football phone.
No, we probably got it from Aunt Pat.
Probably an off-the-wall brand football phone.
I remember that thing, too, because it had all the helmets of the teams.
Yep, when you lifted up the receiver, it was all printed on a big sticker inside, and it had the name of the team and their logo on their helmet.
Yeah, and the buttons were horrible to the point where they like you would push them, they would just get stuck inside.
Or they would all push at the same time. Like yeah. Tell it was like one of those old rubber pads that was all just connected.
I remember the time you got that wireless one. It was like the first wireless one in the house, and it was like we had no fucking like our heads were exploding.
Yeah, I bought a cordless phone so I could go in my room and talk on the phone. And I think I ended up paying like $65 for it. It was like the biggest cordless phone ever.
That thing had good sound, though.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah, so the Toys R Us commercials, growing up, did you like them Christmas time only, or you were a fan of all of them or none
of them? Yeah, no, I liked it. I always wanted to meet the giraffe.
Jeffrey.
But never got to. I mean, we had the Toys R Us up in the closest one was Wilkes-Barre.
Yeah.
But
We had KB Toys. That was our local one.
Yeah, and the Toy Works.
Yep, that's what it turned into. It used to be KB Toys. Or was it? No, Toy Works.
Wait, was it KB? Now, did that have the soldiers on the sides?
Yeah, that was when it was KB.
All right.
Well, yeah, because it turned into KB Toy Works.
Yeah, and it was great because it was called the Toy Works. We just called Toy Works. I mean, I remember Saturday fucking mornings calling up these places, asking them if they had a certain game. Like, hi, may I speak with electronics? Hold on. Oh, then, for some odd reason, you thought it was the funniest thing ever to call them up and say, hi, can I speak to the toy department?
Yeah. We just sit there giggle in our underwear.
Hi, the Toy Works. May I speak to the toy department?
This is.
I still remember exactly the way that the layout of that store. Like, I could close my eyes and I could walk through that entire thing.
Yep, same here. That was always a good store to go to.
It was. That was that was around for a long time too. I remember you and not you. I don't know if you collected them, but Jim used to say, from Walmart. I know his last name. I just don't want to say it on the pod here, but about going there and getting all the damn Hot Wheel cars there too. I think.
Yep. Yeah, that's because his buddy ran that place.
Oh, okay. So you got first dibs.
Yeah, he worked down there for a little bit at Christmas time. He worked down there for about 2 years at Christmas.
Oh, sweet.
Yep.
Did you now? I mean, well, you worked in retail. I mean, and I know you always said you were obsessed with Target. You would still want to work at Target during this time?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. Ugh. I don't know why.
There's one opening up 2 miles from my house.
Oh yeah.
It's the third one in the area of a span of 10 miles.
That's crazy, and I have nothing here.
So nope. now we have our choice of which Target we want to go to. So
are they all the same, like, layout, size, store, grocery?
Yeah,
everything?
I don't know. This one's not open yet. They're putting everything in there. Dick's just went in there. Dick's Sporting Goods. They have Chick-fil-A in there now. Wegmans, Whole Foods is coming in. They're really developing this area, which means just more fucking traffic. Like, I feel like I'm friggin' Jack Arnold. I'm having to go and bust my hump all day and fight traffic.
Making furniture.
That was in his later years. That's when he was his own boss. He didn't mind work then. It's when he worked for Norcom.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a couple of Christmas episodes of that. There's a really funny one. I think we're going to have to whip one of those out soon.
That'll be fun. I haven't watched Wonder Years in a while.
Yeah.
I like it. That last episode, though, is a tearjerker. Was there anything else you had to say about the Will Vinton's Christmas claymation?
No, I mean, again, it's one of those things. If you didn't watch it, this podcast probably means absolutely nothing to you. you can't even figure. I mean, I guess you could just listen to the music, but it's really something you have to watch. So you can kind of see everything that's going on. But like I said, now that I'm older, too, really, the first three songs, the first like 10 minutes to me, that was my favorite part, and everything else I could kind of leave.
And the thing with Will Vinton, his style is so unique. Like, you're either in or you're out. You're not in the not sure category.
Yeah, but it depends. I think with Easter we're both out. Halloween, I'm guarantee we're both going to be out.
That's true.
You got to look at that. I mean, I guess we have to appreciate, but I still
that goes into it, and we grew up with it. So that's why we could tolerate this one. I liked it. I always thought it was good. Like I said, there was one or two scenes I could live without, but they're only a minute or so long.
Yeah, no, I enjoy it, though. It's definitely a keeper. And I don't know. I usually, that one really makes me feel good. Just not feeling much this year.
Yeah, it's going to be here and gone before we know it. So I'm kind of bummed out. I only have 2 more days of work, then I'm on vacation for the rest of the year.
I took off... yesterday was my first day. I have 18 days off in a row.
Nice. Yeah, I gotta do a couple more things yet before Christmas, but
though,
like we said before, it's so different when you're older, like experiencing Christmas, just more of a headache and a hassle, which stinks. I hate it to be like that, but
I know. And that's how I'm trying to, even with the little kids, I'm trying to, hey Bridget, let's sit here and watch this, but she if she doesn't really want to be into it, then I'm usually the one sitting there watching it while she's doing something else. Finnegan's crying, Aaron's taking care of him, and I'm watching my Christmas movie.
Yep. I was poking around on Amazon this morning, and they have a Charlie Brown, not the Charlie Brown Christmas special, but Christmas Stories, Charlie Brown Christmas Stories or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's the pits. I couldn't get into it. It was like one of those ones where you could tell it was in like the 90s, how it was drawn a little more cartoony.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain. If you've seen one, you know what I'm talking about. But this is one where it had like Linus's little brother rerun and all those types of guys in it. Was not into it.
Yeah, I'm not into it really. I'm not a big, you know, I think we had our things growing up, but now as an adult, you know, I watched Bon Voyage, not Bon Voyage, I watched Race for Your Life, Charlie Brown, like a year or two mm-hmm. ago, because we used to watch that religiously as a kid, and I couldn't handle it.
Yeah, I don't think I could go back to that one.
It was pretty bad in that respect, and the other day, like when I had Plex open, and, you know, Bridget's looking, she goes, I want to watch Charlie Brown Christmas, but not the one with the one ornament. I want the one with the tree with lots of ornaments. So she won at Christmas Time Again or whatever it's called.
Yeah, the second versions of those types of movies are never good.
No, but again, just like the first one, there's no freaking plot to that one.
Yeah. No, they're just filling up airtime.
For no reason. Like Peanuts, it wasn't a series. It was just like a once in a time. Like, why waste good manpower and paint?
Well, they also got to get Woodstock into this Christmas episode that I watched today. It was a good way to get them worked into there. Some of the characters that were never in the original Christmas one.
Yeah, you know, they all suck. But yeah, Claymation. I enjoy it. If you haven't watched it, you could watch the whole thing on YouTube. Just type in Claymation Christmas. You don't even have to type in Will Vinton, but you know that'll help, I guess. But Will Vinton's Claymation Christmas Celebration is what it's called.
Yep. So if anyone listening has watched this growing up or haven't, and you watch it now, let us know what you think about it. I enjoyed it.
Does it give you the same feels as it did as a kid? Yes, or not you, but to the audience.
Well, figured. Yeah, I don't know. So I guess this one might be a little bit on the shorter end, but that's what happens when you're doing a 20-minute special, you know.
Yeah, that's okay.
Plus, yeah, we got some stuff to do. Christmas is almost here, so I hope everyone's enjoying their holiday season.
Yeah, we got to figure it. Well, next week, you know, on Monday, which will be Christmas Day, will be our final one for the Christmas celebration that we have here. And that will be A Christmas Story, the original, because there is no other.
That's right.
In that mind. Which, yeah, you and I need to figure out a day to do this, which is going to have to be this week.
Yeah.
To get that done, which means I got to watch it. And I don't know. I'm leaning toward Friday.
All right. Let me know. We'll work something out.
I know that's your movie night, but we might have got to kick it short a little. I don't know. We got to figure something out.
Yeah,
we'll what day are you working this whole week?
No, I'm off Tuesday. Well, I have to work Tuesday, then I'm done.
Oh, well, I'm off. Maybe we could try to pull one off in the day, which will be weird, but I'm off for the next 18 days. I got nothing to do for the most part.
All right, I'll let you know. We'll do this one off the air. We'll discuss it. Wink.
No, I like doing it on the air. Let them know how we think. Though I am thinking for, since we are, by the way, our list is up. We don't have anything for 2018. So I was thinking maybe doing New Year's Eve or something for January, but we'll figure that out. Maybe my fellow Americans for February.
You are into Rankin and Bass. You see, you'll have to do Rudolph's Shiny New Year.
God, I don't know.
It's a Rankin Bass.
Yeah, well, Little Drummer Boy is a horrible one.
That one that I mentioned to you the other day, did you ever go and look for that one? The one where the little boy gets struck by lightning and goes blind?
No, but I remember vaguely a little bit about it. Once you showed me the picture of him with his cataracts.
Yeah. See, I remembered this. It's a Rankin and Bass stop motion feature film, movie, short, whatever you want to call them. And all I remember is like there's nuns in a monastery and they're working. They look out the window and it's thundering and lightning and they just see a little boy get hit by lightning and then he goes blind. Because the thing is, he wasn't blind before because he comes in. And he's like, well, where am I? He's like, why? I can't see anything.
His name wasn't Lazarus. Was it?
I don't remember what it was, but when he opened his eyes, Kevin said they were cataracts, but like his eyes were clouded over, but it was in the shape of a snowflake. I don't know why I thought it was the funniest thing ever, but I remember at the end of the movie, he gets his sight back because the first snowfall lands and it touches his eye. gives him his sight back. It's the most ridiculous plot ever.
What was it called?
I can't. I don't remember.
Probably the first snowflake.
Yeah, it was like probably, I think, the first Christmas snowflake or something like that. Something like that. I don't know. If you look it up, you'll see it. I don't know. It was funny that I remembered that and I looked it up.
Nice. Well, do you have any other Christmas stuff that you'll be watching on your own before Christmas happens? I got quite a few yet.
Yeah, I'm gonna browse around this week and watch. Carrie and I have a tradition where on Christmas night, we always just pick a horrible movie to watch, like just something stupid. But it's a Christmas-related movie, but it doesn't, it's just one that we're watching. It's like one of those ones where you would watch it and be like, why are we watching this?
Oh, so then watch Elf.
No, I like that one.
It's horrible.
Nah. But yeah, we always do that on Christmas night, and we'd eat Christmas dinner part two, usually at like 10 or 11 at night. Pretty rough. I don't know why we do it, but yeah, we do.
I don't even know if I still have it on Plex. There's one that's quite horrible. It's like called Christmas Eve or something. The entire movie takes place in an elevator. And it stars the bald head guy from Star Trek.
Interesting.
Because I was like, I think Aaron will like this one. It has a very Hallmark New Year's Eve, Valentine's Day, all those weird movies type feel to it. But it just takes place in an elevator with all these different personalities of people. Mm. And it's like Christmas Eve night or something. They're all trying to get out.
Who knows?
I still have God. Oh, well, make sure you watch Rankin. Speaking of Rankin and Bass, make sure you watch The Life and Adventures of Santa Claus.
That's the one that we were talking about.
Yeah, that one's that's by far my favorite. I love that one.
Yeah, that one just gives me, like, when I watch that one, remember that one glass jar tin thing that we had that you opened it up and we used to smell it inside, that little snowflake thing?
Yeah, I have it upstairs. I've been sniffing it all day today.
Okay, that watching that special just gives me that smell in my head. I don't know why. Like, I just picture if you were to smell that special, it would smell musty. I guess it's because it's all nature-based. I don't know.
I like it.
Yeah, I don't know. I always get weird things like that, like smells and sounds and thoughts when I see stuff. But if you do find that Simpsons spoof on that, the California prunes, throw that at the end of this if you happen to find it. Yeah. If not, you guys could Google it and look it up. It's funny. I like that they parodied a California raisin California special. Prunes.
I'm just writing that down.
Not to give you extra work, but if you find it, throw it up there.
Yeah, depending on what it is. I don't know if I will or not. Oh, there goes my alarm to feed my son.
All right.
Yeah, good timing, I guess.
It's perfect timing. So yeah. I guess we're going to wrap it up. You guys know how to get in touch with us. It's theholidaybros@gmail.com. You could also go to theholidaybros.com and listen to the show there. If you listen to us on iTunes, if you want to give us something for Christmas, give us a rating and a review. A written review, 4-star, 5-star, whatever you feel, star. I don't even care. But if you want to give us something on there, we appreciate it.
Negative stars are fine, too. We just need to know how you feel.
Yeah. Also, you could follow us on Instagram and Twitter, both at The Holiday Bros, and there's a Facebook page. And I think if you just search, just search The Holiday Bros on Facebook, and you'll find us there.
Yeah.
So we'll be talking to you guys again on Christmas Day. That's when we'll be back. So if you want to get in touch with us, go ahead before that, and we'll get you on the next show. So until then, my name is Charlie.
And I'm Kevin, here to bid you farewell and ho, ho, ho from the
Holiday Bros.